It's showtime. It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And it appears we are off and running, although I'm not entirely certain. That was certainly interesting. I just took the great big nasty update on the on the Fab machine and didn't mean to, but the audio played, but everything is very slow. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Tuesday, the 23rd day of October 2018. And, yes, both Jack and Brother Deacon Asa tell me we're rocking and rolling on both the White Rose and the head-on.live stream. That's good. That means everything should be working across all the multifarious platforms by which we try to get this program out into the world. And, you know, there were technical problems last night. Who knows? There may be technical problems tonight. Let me get this out there early. The fundraising goal for the evening is $460. I'll get to the thank yous in a moment, but we're at $460 for this evening, and then a total of $660 to close out the month of October's fundraising and have fundraising free radio beginning Thursday. But, you know, we like to, I like to hearken back to the days of real radio, and so it's time for a horn traffic update. Well, we're up here in the horn traffic chopper, flying high over the hills and valleys of Southern California. Okay, we can stop with the, not a good day to be. If you're in traffic in the Southern California area right now, you're going to want to avoid. You're going to want to avoid the 101 out near Liberty Canyon Road in Agoura Hills. Take the 1.314 or the seven. The 3.141 and. Bypass around to the 9 7/16 to pick up the 10, because you don't want to be on the 101, because a World War II Nazi fighter plane, I'm not kidding, crashed on the 101 today. Just checking the dateline. This is the 23rd day of October, and yeah, there's the 23rd day of October 2018, Los Angeles Times. Yep. Looks to be a Luftwaffe aircraft. Monoplane, single engine, fire boiling out of it, as so often was the case during the Second World War. You can see the black and white cross markings on the wing, and the Feldgrau paint job. Lee in New York asks, Bob, can you see the riots in California, or are you too high up? Dude, I'm way too high. Just way, way too high. Meanwhile, over in the chat room, Sparky, having folded space to become Man Cave, says, take the I-5 north to get the fuck out of town. No, that's a thing that really happened. A Nazi warplane has crashed on the 101 in Southern California. Beats me. Dr. John asked me earlier, he said, when did Nazi cosplayers get an Air Force? I mean, I've seen, I like aircraft museums and stuff, and hey, you know, I've seen the occasional Zero and the occasional BF-109 and so forth, and Axis power aircraft in, say, the Naval Aviation Museum down in Pensacola. But I've never actually seen one up in the air. I guess it's possible that reenactors and, I mean, there's bound to be some. Maybe somebody needed one for some movie that's in production or something. But that, you know, Nazi fighter aircraft crashes on Southern California highway is not a headline you're going to expect to see every day. Mm-mm. Just not. Yeah, I know. Subject line. What? Ron in Raleigh asks, was Trump flying to a rally in Cali? It's probably just riot recon, Ron. See what happened there? Rally in Cali, recon, Ron. Oh, one of these days we're going to do the entire program in iambic pentameter. No, we're not. That would make my head hurt. Yeah, see, great minds. Just seconds after Ron's email rolled in, there's Scott regarding Nazi warplane crash. I didn't know Trump had a California rally tonight. And of course, it all does work together, because last night in Texas, down at some high school gymnasium or something, not the largest stadium in Texas as he had promised. He showed up and made Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, kiss the ring, and probably later on the orange behind, the adipose orange behind, and declared that he was, in fact, a nationalist. If we overlook the bad spray tan, he's a nationalist too. He is an old white guy who's a nationalist. That would make him a... Well, yeah, a white nationalist. I'll be dipped. And of course, the white wing have been backpedaling all day long. Well, I mean, not like white nationalist. He's just a nationalist who's white. I mean, what about the black Americans for the president's agenda? They're nationalists too. Nationalists don't necessarily mean bad. By the way, Lee in New York says, hey, Bob, Snoopy finally shot down the Red Baron. Wrong plane. Wrong Luftwaffe. That would have been a Fokker triplane. Bill in Allentown says, hey, Bob, do you want a helicopter for your traffic updates? You know, like Les Nessman at WKRP? Yeah. Devoutly to be wished. Well, you know, we could keep it in the same hangar with the Horn Gulf Stream 5. Marty says, I bet George Putnam, late anchor of the Channel 5 News in the L.A. area, is sad to be dead today. He's missing out. Well, no, he's not, because you can't be sad when you're dead. That's one. Oh, you can't be sad when you're dead. You can't be sad when you're... No singing. Okay, I'll promise. No more singing if we can get started on that $470, the hole in the horn. Yeah, it's bound to be a special kind of Titanic Tuesday when the lead story is vintage Nazi warplane crashes in California. I mean, you got to have them. The Dunkirk movie had a couple of BF-109s in it. But like I said, we have thanks to send out because we have subscribers here, and the subscribers get thanked at the beginning of every program, and then everybody else gets thanked as things roll in. Thanks very kindly to Stacy. And thanks as well to Philip, our buddy in Maryland. Those are our two subscribers for the day. Thank you very kindly as well. Suman. Suman says, glad to contribute to the program. If you're manning the grill on Malloy's book signing, can you please grill some veggies? I'm still a recovering Hindu, if you're wondering. I can try, but... is it okay to do that on a grill that's been grilling, you know, like meat? I don't know the rules. And plus, I'm not very good at vegetarian. The base I make of the chili, I can throw some tofu in instead of meat, and it's almost respectable. You know, you thicken it up with plenty of beans and quinoa, and you're off and running. But thank you, Suman. I'm still a recovering Hindu. I don't know where that stands on the continuum alongside us, recovering Southern Baptists and recovering Roman Catholics, but it's the recovery that matters. But thank you just the same. If you'd like to be a subscriber, you know, if we got a brand new subscriber every day for the next year, I could stop talking about fundraising. Just one a night. But as it stands, we need 46 folks at $10 a piece, or 10 people at 46, or one at 460, or two at 230, or four at 115, eight at 5750. And then it gets complicated and my head hurts. But thank you to our subscribers. And hopefully we will not be talking about $660 tomorrow. Okay, so where do we begin this evening? Well, it's Titanic Tuesday. And that means, of course, we have to celebrate Titanic right-wing intellect. You may recall that You may recall that Titanic Tuesday takes its name from something that happened on local right-wing radio eons ago now. Because, you know, tomorrow will be the 15th anniversary of the horn in its present online-only state. That just blows my mind. But yes, tomorrow will be 15 years of this broadcast. And that, that's cool. Anyway, it was many years ago in America's fifth smallest radio market, when the people who tuned in the morning heard America's most profound and sleep-inducing monotone, take a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who said, "Steve, how come it is you reckon there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." To which he responded, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." And the mouth breather went, "Oh, Titanic plates, yes." So we're still there's still no word, and thank you very kindly to our far-frozen North Alberta correspondent, Lauren, for the help with this. Still no word on the Titanic bonbon scoop. No, none whatsoever. A lot of stuff on the Titanic table, but every Tuesday we celebrate instances in which the White Wing screams, "Flank speed, all ahead full," and aims itself at the nearest immovable object. Yes. And so that being the case, well, I figured we would start, well, I guess it might be a little bit predictable, but just the same, it has a certain value to it. I have said before, and I will reiterate here, that you can take the you can take the broadcaster out of Fox, but you can't take the Fox out of the broadcaster. I'm talking, of course, about the dubious hire by NBC of Megyn Kelly, who remains every bit as odious as she ever was at Fox, maybe a little toned down, but not much. Remember, this is the Megyn Kelly who patiently explained to all of us confused people a couple of years back that, by God, Santa Claus is white! White, 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 white. And just the white beard isn't enough. He has to be white. Right? Because, well, because Megyn Kelly, like Donald Trump, and I guess they don't particularly like each other, but God, she loves his policies. She's probably a white supremacist, too. And it looks like it looks like there may be a little bit of a boycott started against Megyn Kelly, so maybe she'll wind. Maybe the Today Show will wind up. Will wind up with almost as scraping the bottom of the barrel for sponsors the same way Laura Ingraham's program is over on Fox. Mm-hmm. The discussion on the Today Show was around the fact that some college campuses are banning some costumes for Halloween because apparently this time of year now brings out the economic anxiety in lots and lots of people who feel compelled to put on racist costumes at Halloween. There's all kinds of other choices, but if you're a maggot, the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm going to put some shoe polish on my face. And they don't understand. They do not understand why going around in blackface is not a good idea. One of the people who doesn't understand that is Megyn Kelly. What's that old line? With all due deference to people who have sight problems, there's none so blind as those who will not see. Not see? Not see? Why, yes, there was a story recently about a mother who didn't understand why people were upset when she dressed her kid up as Adolf fucking Hitler for Halloween. No, really. Look it up. But then this morning, there's Megyn Kelly, who wants to know, what's racist? What is this racist, Jim Kirk? I do not know what this racist is. With our obligatory Star Trek reference of the evening. Although Lee pointed out earlier, obligatory Star Trek reference, when the extras encountered an old plane with a machine gun, the episode Shore Leave, what is it? Of all the crazy things, remember what I was telling you a while ago about the early wars and funny air vehicles they used? That's one of them. Can it hurt us? Not unless it makes a strafing run. Of what? The way they used to attack people on the ground. The plane begins descending. Come on! They run along the path as a second plane joins the first, straight into a clump of trees. Angela falls to the ground, having hit the tree. Angela! Yes. What is this racist?
Fired up over Halloween costumes this morning. Have you seen it? I mean, truly, political correctness has gone amok. There are strict rules on what you may and may not wear, issued by someone who thinks they're the boss of you. And joining me now to discuss it is NBC's Jenna Bush Hager and Jacob Soboroff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. W and Laura's daughter is now a contributor for NBC at the Today Show. Because wingnut welfare. Because why not, I guess. Maybe she's uniquely talented to... But did you catch the lead-in? Asking white people not to wear fucking blackface is a manifestation of, in her words, political correctness run amok. Sir, there's a giant iceberg up ahead. Ram it. Ramming speed. Do it.
And a special guest on our panel today, all the way from California,
yes.
Television host Melissa Rivers is here.
Yay, clap, studio audience, clap.
Great to have you. So this is a different kind of fashion policing, Melissa. Halloween is next week, as you know, right? I mean, this year, the costume police are cracking down like never before. Take a look.
Costume police. I saw a photo of a white guy wearing black pants and a red polo shirt who decided that putting some kiwi brown shoe polish on his face turned him into Tiger Woods. Okay? This isn't about being Tiger Woods. This is about letting your inner racist run just a little wild because Halloween.
At what some now say is an offensive costume. You may no longer dress as a cowboy. That's now offensive. Okay, the student union at Kent University in the UK is pushing to ban this along with several other costumes.
In the UK.
They cause offense, that they're inappropriate, and it goes on to sort of list the things that you're not allowed to dress like Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, but let's be honest.
Fair enough.
Like, come on.
No, thank you. Now, that's creepy.
Yeah, but
that is creepy.
I don't want the University of Kent telling me that I can't do it. You can't.
Right, because nanny state. You can tell. Megyn Kelly wants to put on some damn blackface so bad she can't stand it. Well, I don't want the University of Kent telling me that I can't dress up. It's Harvey Weinstein.
You can't wear anything Mexican-based. No sombrero, no maracas. That's cultural
but that,
and race-based.
That's more of a spring break thing anyway.
Not okay.
this one last
year. Yeah, and they display then a photograph of a guy wearing, a serape and a sombrero, with a beer in one hand and a bottle of tequila in the other, and crossed bandoliers across his chest over blue jeans. Why is it so godforsaken difficult to explain cultural appropriation to these goobs. Okay, cultural appropriation has a lot of syllables and concepts and stuff in it. Why is it so hard to explain not mocking people? I don't know. Am I wrong about this? I mean, if you live in a nice, lily-white, suburban American neighborhood and you want to dress up as a Mexican person in a sombrero with a big bushy black mustache and a multicolored serape and a bandana around his neck and a couple of bandoliers across his chest, holding in one hand a bottle of tequila and in the other hand a bottle of beer, thereby implying that, of course, Mexicans are beer-swilling violent people. And it's just your happy little all-white neighborhood. No, it's still nasty. I was trying to find a way out for
spring break. You cannot dress as a Native American. That's apparently been some rule for a long time. You can't dress as a nun. I mean, it's like, isn't the whole purpose of Halloween to dress up and pretend you are something other than yourself? About the cowboy, because my girls have both been, at least they wore the costumes that I wore when I was little, living in Texas. And this is the thing, cowboys do dress like that. Yeah. They said they can't dress like that because it's a stereotype. I know some cowboys.
That's a real thing. I'd be offended if I dressed like a cowboy. It would be okay for people to be offended because I'd be the nerdiest cowboy of all time. Yeah.
Well, that would be charming.
Yeah, but, thank you.
But like, I spend time in Wyoming, and that's how they dress.
Yes,
but
totally.
You have to understand, I also come from a family where you're saying you can't dress like a nun. And I remember one year my mom went as a pregnant bride.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like
that, honestly, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it's
By the
so
way, get the hockey puck.
Who comes up with these rules? Well, and you know what they're saying you can dress at? There's a list of what you can dress as.
I don't want to know. Oh, no.
Yes.
Letters of the alphabet.
Oh. You would be a good letter, J.
Yes.
No, I said to my team, I said, you know what, Doug and I are going to go together. I'm going to go as F and he can go as U.
Exactly.
Because she's pushing back against the PC police, F.U. You understand? Oh, God. Little wingnuts just trying, offended by, you know, they're the snowflakes. Well, why can't we offend people, goddamn it? Ooh, and Jenna Bush happens to be the Trumpansy sister, too, Brother Deacon Asa tells me. Barbara is the more open-minded of the pair. Stephen New York reminds us, don't forget noted Aryan and very white Middle Eastern Jewish man, Jesus of Nazareth, Santa Claus, right. Pointing out, Steve does, University of Kent, do you think she understands that the UK is not the US and doesn't have a First Amendment? So much for respecting national sovereignty. Well, we're only nationalist when it comes to the United States, Steve. Right? Subject line, Mexican-dressed guy, Jack in Shreveport says, yep, the right-wing nutters want to dress like some Mexican stereotype with tequila, beer, and guns. But in real life, it's the right-wing nutters themselves that push for guns to be legal in bars around all the liquor they can get. Well, there's that, and then there's also the fact that real white-wing Americans are terrified not of Mexicans with tequila and beer and guns, but of Hispanic people from Central America with baby bottles. That's what really, really makes them befoul themselves. They're terrified of little migrant children fleeing their own murders. Ooh-wee! Yeah, that scares them. That scares them just right out of what once passed for their wits. But we're not done, because we haven't actually gotten to the hockey puck part yet. Nope, we just haven't. And as soon as Windows lets me, I will go back to the hockey puck, and we'll get to the hockey puck part. Hey, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa reminds me, first the liberals came for Christmas and I said nothing, because I wasn't a white winger. Then they came for Halloween and I said nothing, because I wasn't a mythicist. Then they came for Easter and I said nothing, because I wasn't a Catholic. Then they came for me and there was only 9 million shit-eating right-wing mouthpieces on radio and TV to shill for me. Oh, that's cowbell. Well done, Brother Deacon Asa. Yeah, so back we go. Ay, ay, ay. Back we go.
Give me a break. Yeah. Give me a little stop. Your kids might be like, what does FU stand for, Mom?
They'll figure it out.
See, and that is like a page out of how I was raised and how I raised my son.
Right.
So I feel very connected to you with that one.
Right from the beginning, we were soul sisters, Melissa. I don't know. I feel like, you know,
soul
there's
sisters?
Definitely going to be offense caused on Halloween. By the way, some of 2018's most controversial Halloween costumes are the Handmaid's Tale costume.
Right. Well, because it's a sexy Handmaid's Tale.
Get over it. Wear what you want. You can't dress as Anne Frank. Which apparently, my team was asking, who chooses Anne Frank as their Halloween?
Right. And by the way, I want to know what that looks like.
I know.
Like, that's very...
You got the diary, I guess.
Nazis. Little Nazis like to dress their children. Nazis like to dress their children as Anne Frank. You know, to mock the murder of, wait a minute, Anne Frank. Megan with a note says, do costumes like fairies, mermaids, pirates, animals, or superheroes not exist for these freaks? Why the insistence on dressing up to offend? And I've never heard of banning dressing up as the alphabet. Well, you might want to ban dressing up as the alphabet because, say, three fraternity brothers from Tepekega Day might decide to all dress up because, of course, of their economic anxiety, they might all decide to dress up as the letter K. No, we're not saying KKK. We're saying, I mean, this is for our favorite pitcher who strikes a lot of people out. And so a K is a strikeout, and so we're just three strikeouts. That's, you understand? Hopefully they'll fall for it. Well, that's true, too. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana, pointing out, Bob, if the guy dressing up as a Mexican lives in a lily white community, he'll be going dressed as a Klansman, and it'll just be another day on the calendar. Well, here's a thought coming from Steve in New York for Megyn Kelly. Subject line, dressing up as other than yourself. Maybe Megyn Kelly should dress as a compassionate and thoughtful human. That would be dressing up as something other than herself. There's no doubt about it.
I guess that's the Anne Frank costume.
It's a real costume.
But look, freedom of expression, this is not in our country, but freedom of expression is a beautiful thing. So is freedom of speech. It's part of why I like living in the United States of America.
Okay, so this is Jacob Soboroff. He does some good reporting for NBC. And he's talking about how much he loves living in America because freedom of speech. We'll be back to that in a minute.
Okay, you're going to dress like an idiot, act like an idiot, and actually dress and be racist, then somebody should say something to somebody. Yeah. But you should still be able to dress like a moron.
But what is racist? Because truly, you do get...
There it is. That's what we've waited 4 minutes for, is Megan, Santa Claus is white, waiting for her to say, what is racist? Let's get it again.
It's a real costume.
Freedom of expression, this is not in our country, but freedom of expression is a beautiful thing. So is freedom of speech. It's part of why I like living in the United States of America. If you're going to dress like an idiot, act like an idiot, and actually dress... and be racist, then somebody should say something to somebody. Yeah. And but you should still be able to dress like a moron.
But well, what is racist? Because truly.
Okay, so what is racist? What is racist? She asked, and now she's going to explain to us proles what isn't racist.
You do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on black face for Halloween, or a black person who puts on white face for Halloween. Like,
Okay, so that's some subtle both-siderism there. You get in trouble if you're a white person who puts on black face, or if you're a black person who puts on white face. I don't see a whole lot of stories this time every year about black folks putting some white shoe polish on their face and going to Halloween parties as, Taylor Swift. Or, who's that Canadian kid that I can't stand? The guy, the singer. Yeah, no stories about that either. Is it racist to paint your face orange and go as Trump? What's racist? Asks Megyn Kelly.
When I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you...
Wait. When Megyn Kelly was a kid... It was okay to put on blackface as long as it was a character. Of course, apparently Megyn Kelly was a kid. What has she got a picture of Dorian Gray in her fucking closet? Is she 100? Where the hell did Megyn Kelly grow up that it was okay to put on blackface? And maybe that's the problem with Megyn Kelly. Nobody taught her any goddamn values. The only values she has are the values in her bank account, and they confer upon her the privilege to offend whomever she wants for whatever reason she desires. Ugh. Justin Bieber. Thank you, Robert in Morgantown. Thank you. Justin Bieber. Yeah, I don't see I've not seen any pictures of African Americans putting on white face and going as Justin Bieber. Or no.
Freedom of expression. This is not in our country, but freedom of expression is a beautiful thing. So is freedom of speech. It's part of why I like living in the United States of America. If you gotta dress like an idiot, act like an idiot, and actually dress and be racist, then somebody should say something to somebody. Yeah. But you should still be able to dress like a moron.
But what
is racist? Because you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on black face for Halloween, or a black person who puts on white face for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
If somebody feels like something is offensive to them, then you should say it, and that's fair game.
And you should be able
to take it if you're going to dress up like that.
Yeah, you got to be able to take it.
Yeah. One of the things they mentioned is people dressing up like Nazis and this. If you think it's offensive, it probably is.
Yep.
And one of my big complaints just about society right now is whatever happened, and I know how you were raised. I don't know how you were raised.
But that's questionable.
Yeah. Whatever happened to just manners and polite society?
Manners and polite society went out the goddamn window on November the 8th, 2016. In its most virulent form, although the fact of the matter is, there's a lot to be said for it, for manners dying a pretty horrible, or at least being grievously wounded back in the year 2000. That's been on my mind a little bit today because former Justice of the Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor, announced today that she was withdrawing, in a letter, that she was withdrawing from public life. Because some time back, she said, she was diagnosed with advancing dementia, probably some form of Alzheimer's. And so she's not going to be giving any more public speeches or anything like that. And the first thing I thought was, huh. And I thought she lost her mind when she signed off on the 5-4 decision on Bush v. Gore. The goddess of irony, she's good for a chuckle every now and then, but when she decides to really stick it to you, she sticks it to you good. And in the case of Sandra Day O'Connor, a day is probably rapidly approaching when the only person who won't know how badly Sandra Day O'Connor fucked the United States of America will be Sandra Day O'Connor. Jesus. Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, VT Blom. Yeah, Justin Bieber. Yeah, Leah, New York. I've done a pretty good job of trying to run him out of my brain. Meanwhile, Hung Like Jesus, responding to this whole goofy panel, says, I say wear what you want, and if you get your ass kicked, well, freedom! Wolverines! Yeah, sure. There I am with my $10 phrases. Cultural appropriation. Alexander says, how about respecting others as you would want others to respect you? And not, lots of K's, cowardly hiding behind Halloween to justify not doing so. I honestly say that I have never done that towards any sector of humanity, on Halloween or otherwise. As a black man, I am very sensitive about issues of this nature, being that black males are deemed public enemy number one when it comes to all racial racist issues. Precisely. Alexander has never gone out on Halloween wearing whiteface as Justin Bieber. Or the Beaver. Or you get the idea. The idea that Megan think that Megan Kelly thinks that they're, you know, both sides do it, no.
Guys running around with fake axes coming out of their head.
But what I'm saying
is, it's going to be jarring.
Right, but what I'm saying is, in polite society, someone who's raised it would not think that dressing as a Nazi is okay. Yeah. I don't need look. I don't need the PC.
Or painting somebody. I mean, I think that there are.
This portion of the discussion is probably a little bit embarrassing for, say, the Royal House of Windsor, but we'll just leave that alone.
Limits to how far you want to go.
But
you're making people feel bad.
But I'm saying normal people kind of know where that line is.
Yes, right.
I mean,
Jenna, the whole point of people dressing like that on Halloween is to take an opportunity to make people feel bad. You remember when the head of ICE came to the ICE Halloween party some several years back during the Reign of Error? Dressed as a Hispanic person. You know, ICE that rounds up, whose mission in life is to round up Hispanic people and make their lives miserable. Yeah, that. We're still 8 days away from official Halloween. I think most Halloween parties will take place on the coming weekend. I'm gonna haul out the tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqué moons and stars on it, and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark Baby written in glow in the dark paint, and the magic eight ball with the cracked screen that answers always that always says answer hazy, ask me again later. I'm gonna go out on a limb and predict that somewhere in America this Halloween, some supporter of the National Ruble Association. Hell, maybe it'll be Coleon Noir or Greg Stinkfield or Dana Lush themselves. We'll dress up for Halloween as a Parkland shooting victim, you know, complete with Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school T-shirt. It's like tattered and holes and blood on it and stuff. Want to bet? I'll just bet. Don't want to witness. I should stop whispering this stuff into the ears of the universe. I should. Uh-oh, I done pissed off the Canadians. How dare you talk about Justin Bieber like that? That man's a national treasure. How'd you feel if I disparaged your president? Yeah, he's such a national treasure. Y'all can't keep him out of Canada fast enough, eh? So, yeah, tell it to the Marines. But Megyn Kelly doesn't understand why blackface is a bad idea. Because it's all in, racism is always all in good fun, isn't it? Why, sure it is. Especially when you can hide behind in good fun on a children's holiday. Because can we take a moment and just recall that in its American incarnation, now I'm not talking about Samhain or anything like that, but Halloween is a children's holiday. Cute little babies coming up to the store, to the door, holding their buckets, getting a piece of candy, whatever. Uh-oh, I done pissed off Steve from Georgistan. Stop forcing us to listen to NBC's knockoff version of The View, Bob. I thought it was NBC's knockoff version of Fox's Outnumbered. Shows what I know. Lee in New York points out black in whiteface. I do not remember President Barack Obama donning whiteface during Halloween. I'm just imagining the people on Fox applauding Obama making himself look more presidential. Think that could ever happen? Oh, God. David in South Carolina, Stan. How many people will be going out on Halloween as Brett Kavanaugh frat boys? You know, Brett Kavanaugh. Now, there's a thought. That's pretty easy too. Black choir robe, one of those beer hats that holds two cans of beer with the straws that come down to your mouth. Some glycerin tears so that the tears are just running down. And all you got to do is walk around all night and say, "I like beer. I still like beer." In regard to my prediction of gun freaks dressing up as Parkland victims, Megan says, if that's the case, Bob, then the kids of Parkland should all dress as FBI agents and visit the White House. Well, that's good, too. Well, have you done that, Marty? Marty suggests, what about going in whiteface to be James T. Kirk? See, that's the thing. I think the yellow Star Trek sweater would be, and the Starfleet insignia would probably be enough. If you showed up with somebody done up all with a scantily clad female done up all in green, I'm about to get an email, Bob. That was Christopher Pike, not James Kirk. I know. It's just one of those things we think we know that we don't actually know. As Alexander points out, exactly. Racism is in good fun. Just being victimized by sexism, as Sister Kelly herself recently was. How soon she apparently forgot her ordeal with the Fox Propaganda Network and Roger Ailes. Well, that applied to her. That mattered. It doesn't matter when it doesn't happen to millionaire Megan. Everybody else is just being too sensitive. But speaking of blackface, sometimes blackface can be an audio thing and not a video thing or a visual thing. You know, I think I'd get arrested. Well, not just me. Somebody, anybody else would get arrested if they did it. Jack in Shreveport, Kavanaugh costume. Don't forget a T-shirt with a slogan on it like no means yes and yes means anal. And just maybe write the name Brett on the back. And maybe the Greek letters. That was disturbing. A little gunplay here in the hills and hollers this evening. And a big one, too. Tracy, again, subject line, white face. Get out of my head, Bob. Speaking for the entire black race, as it is my job to do, Bob, I can honestly say you will not see the homies putting on whiteface, dressing up like Justin Bieber, Barbie, or anything having to do with whiteface. For the most part, black folks, with the exception of Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, Condoleezza Rice, goes great with kind of sleazy chicken, and every other boot-licking house Negro, Uncle Tom, Auntie Thomasina motherfucker, was raised with enough sense to know that whiteface, while it's not a thing, is only used as the wet dream of false equivalency that the white wing uses to justify getting out the old shoe polish so someone can sing a rousing rendition of Mammy. By the way, did I use false equivalency correctly? You used it perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Yes, I said Christopher Pike, Ron. Subject line, Orion Slave Girl. Yes, Christopher Pike. The Green Lady. Give me another of those kisses, Jim Kirk. What is this kissing? But that's very well taken, Tracy. But now that I know that Tracy is listening, I'm going to have to double down on the hockey puck warning. Because there's black, like I said, there's visual blackface and then there's audio blackface. You know what I'd love to do? I would love to play this for Megyn Kelly and get her to explain to me how this is not racist.
Well, hello there. I is the Negro Andrew Gillum, and I'll be asking you to make me governor of this here state of Florida. My steam pony, who doesn't call me monkey, is doing a lot of hollering about how expensive my plans for health care be. But he be thinking of the white man's medicine, which is very expensive because it uses science and whatnot. But the medicine of my African race be very affordable. For instance, putting the chicken piece under your pillow during the full moon don't cost hardly nothing at all. So I's promise that you make me Andrew Gillum to governor every people's what be ailing will get all the chicken feet they need. As to the claim by my esteemed opponent that I don't like the Jews, nothing be further from the truth. It was the Jews who owned the slave trade what done brought us Negroes to America to begin with. And they the ones that been putting Negroes in charge over the white folk, just like they done after the Civil War. All the Jews don't vote me, Andrew Gillum, governor of this here state of Florida.
This message paid for by the RoadToPower.com.
Yep, that is a robocall, a real, live, no-kidding robocall that's been going to telephone numbers in Florida. It's from the same sick Nazi racist Klansman motherfucker bastards who did the first racist robocall, which Ron Monkey DeClantis then said, I'm shocked to find out that people would be sending out a message on my behalf like this. I had no knowledge of it whatsoever, and I thoroughly, why, goodness me, mercy sakes, gracious, my stars and garters, I certainly denounce this, and I don't want any nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Nazis voting for me in a race where the difference between my opponent and me is something like 1 percentage point. Gracious goodness, oh my God. I can't believe anybody is putting out an ad like that telling people to vote for me. Andrew Gillum is around a point up on Ron Monkey DeClantis. But if that ad goes to enough phones, if that robocall lands in enough ears in a state like Florida, it can make up the difference. Oh, it's all there, the monkey sounds. The bad, tired old... Right. Wonder how Vernon Robinson of Black Americans for the President's Agenda feels about that ad. I mean, he's not associated with it. This comes from Road to Power. Apparently, Sandpoint, Idaho. And God Almighty, you got to wonder how much money it costs to put out robocalls. Now, this is not the same ad that went out before. This is the second Road to Power racist Klan robocall. And do you notice how because when you're working the good old boys and the racists of the redneck hinterlands of places like Florida, you want to make sure that you cover your bases. And so there's plenty of racist white folks in Florida who hate Jews too. So he works in the tired old bullshit canard about how the Jews were responsible for the slave trade. And not the English, the Dutch, the Portuguese, the French, the Spanish. No, it was... The Spanish had a hand in the Middle Passage after they had run every Jew out of Spain. Still, the Jews... You remember how Jacob Soboroff back in that other clip with Megyn Kelly said, I love freedom of expression and I love the First Amendment and that's why I love living in America. Behold the First Amendment. There it is, folks. There's the First Amendment. Well, hello there. I is the Negro Andrew Gillum and I be asking you to make me governor of this here state of Florida. There's not a civilized country on this planet that would consider that to be protected speech. Only a country that values that speech protects that speech. You could not do that in France. You could not do it in Germany. You could not do it in England. You could not do it in Canada. You could not do it in Japan. You could not do it in Australia. You couldn't do it in Sweden, Finland, Norway, Denmark, the Netherlands. Now, you could probably do it in Hungary and Poland. I'm sure you could do it in Mother Russia. But we're the only country that I can think of that argues that this kind of hatred must be protected so that the rest of us who don't even remotely talk like this can have the right to engage in political speech and free thought and free expression. Because, you see, fascists, and we've got some empirical proof of this theory. Fascists will always use the freedoms afforded in a civil society in order to gain power. They will abuse rights in order to gain power, and then the minute they gain power, those rights are fucking gone. Okay? I don't know if you saw the story within the last week or so, but the Trump administration is proposing a massive ban on protests in Washington, D.C. The ACLU highlighted the story recently. Not a joke. Looking for it here. There it is. Trump administration seeks to stifle protests near White House and on National Mall. They propose to dramatically limit the right to demonstrate near the White House and on the National Mall, including in ways that would violate court orders that have stood for decades. The proposal would close 80% of the White House sidewalk, put new limits on spontaneous demonstrations, and pave the way for charging massive fees for the right to protest. The requirements are so draconian that had they been in place in 1963, it would have made Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech and the rally that accompanied it impossibly expensive. The public comment period's over. The Park Service, under Trump, plans to close 20 feet of the 25-foot-wide White House sidewalk. Demonstrators would be limited to a 5-foot sliver along Pennsylvania Avenue. It's nearly unheard of. Present court orders allow demonstrations by at least 750 people on the White House sidewalk, and any lower limit is invalid and void as an unconstitutional infringement of plaintiffs' rights to freedom of speech and to assemble peaceably and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Anybody want to bet what kind of chance that old court order would have in a Supreme Court that is peopled by John Roberts and Sammy Bad Breath and Clarence Slappy Coke Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas and Anne's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh? Yeah, I didn't think so. And then there's the proposal for fees for sanitation and trash removal and harm to turf. But of course, the turf gets harmed when every sunny day when people from around the D.C. area go and play all over the National Mall. No, they don't. No, they don't get, and they leave trash too. They don't get charged. So that sort of demonstrations is those sorts of manifestations of free speech under the First Amendment the Trump regime does not like. But I don't care on what side of the aisle you are, Republican or Democrat. You will not hear anybody say that the audio you just heard should not be protected. And I have a rough time with that. The audio itself is odious and hateful. But hey, here's something. It was bought political speech. Somebody paid with tax-free dollars to have this recording played on any telephone that picked up from an auto dialer. And if you ask the creeps on the Supreme Court, you know, your Robertses, Alitos, Thomases, Gorsuches, and Kavanaughs, well, they'll tell you that's the quintessence of free speech, the right to spend money to spread racist filth anywhere and everywhere in this country. What's interesting in this story from the Huffington Post is that the Gillum campaign issued a statement. These disgusting, abhorrent robocalls represent a continuation of the ugliest, most divisive campaign in Florida's history. We would hope that these calls and the dangerous people who are behind them are not given any more attention than they already have been. Well, I disagree with that last part because people cannot know how hateful, how awful, how disgusting, how revolting, how un-American the supporters of Ron Monkey Up DeSantis are. Unless they are forced to confront the evil that his supporters put out there. And you may rest assured that people know, the right people know, what that message is about. You're damned right they do. And these two ads that have run may very well be enough to carry the day for Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. Stephen, New York points out those regulations you were talking about. There's a word for them, fascism. It really is here. Meanwhile, Todd in South Carolina says, subject line playbook. Does it seem like we can assume from now forward everything is according to the fascist playbook? I don't believe we can continue to ignore the obvious. A coup has taken place. This is fascism 2.0. To be fair, this may be fascism 2.0. Because we really have not yet seen what fascism can do in America when somebody who's actually good at it really gets their hands on the reins of power. Reins of power. Because when somebody's good, who's good at it, gets hold of it, then we'll really be rolling. Subject line: Oops. Tracy says, "I forgot about the biggest perpetrator of Uncle Tom coonery of all, Kanye West." Love, Tracy. Coming to you stuck on the 101 freeway because of the crash of a World War II plane with German insignia on the tail. Want to guess what the insignia is, Bob? That's how we opened the program, Tracy. Complete with traffic helicopter sounds. I never dreamed that you really would be stuck on the 101. Oh, Jesus, God. I got to put that fucking robe and magic eight ball away. But do you see that there's... And I'm open for a full-on discussion of this. I may be wrong. It may be that in order to have free speech in the United States, we have to tolerate the most virulent, sickening forms of racism that people can conceive to pollute our telephones with. But you'll have a hard time convincing me that this isn't also part and parcel of the magnificent day of freedom that was announced when gone but not forgotten Anthony Kennedy declared that giving a politician money to have him do what you want to do doesn't necessarily constitute bribery. And that, frankly, people, as long as they say that what they're doing is political speech, they can say anything they want to. Hung Like Jesus says, Bob, please give us a walking definition of fascism, because we're not all on the same page when it comes to fascism. Thanks. All I can do is go back to the guy who invented it, Mussolini, who said that it is the merger of the power of the government with the power of the corporate state, and that fascism should more properly be called not fascism, but corporatism. But it also includes things like irrational deification of national symbols, like flags. In Italian and German, and I presume Spanish fascism, it also has elements of exaltation of a heritage of an imagined former glory days when country, fill in the blank, was great, and the ability of the fascist leader to make, fill in the blank, country great again. Fascism is notorious for its scapegoatery, in which whatever problems the fascist state has can be remedied by the elimination of a nebulous they, an undifferentiated other, whether it be a genetic other or a religious other or a skin color other. It'll all be great if we just get rid of them. It also includes an opening of a door to violence against those others. I mean, that's a starting place. There's an exaltation of the military and an overt militarism in aspects of civil society where you would not expect a military presence to be observed. A tolerance for violence by fringe groups aligned with the regime, but a willingness to gin up even fake stories about those others and the violence that they do. Is this working for you, Hung Like Jesus? Everybody else? It includes an exaltation of the nation state itself and an understanding that whatever the nation needs comes before anything else. That the nation triumphs over the individual, and that the nation must triumph over all other nations. Again, any of this sound familiar? So, if you have, the best thing is just to study history, because that's what the fascists are doing. They read history and they try to replicate it. They use those former fascist regimes as a playbook. And it's interesting the way it insinuates itself into pop culture. The other night, just on a lark, I started up the, what's his name, Paul Verhoeven film version of Starship Troopers, just because it's so campy and so, you know, science fiction, you know. And there's a classroom scene early in the film where the young Johnny Rico, sitting in government class down in Buenos Aires, is asked the question, or no, it's not him. It's a young woman in the class who says, "My mother tells me violence doesn't solve anything." And the professor, a veteran with a stump where his arm used to be, says, why don't we tell that to the people of Hiroshima? Violence solves everything. Violence is the quickest solution to any problem. And it's right there in the film. And it's straight-up fascism, which is part of what Paul Verhoeven was trying to highlight, but I don't think he quite anticipated the way an American audience would receive that. And then, lo and behold, the next day, I'm looking at clips of Gavin McInnes from the Proud Boys, and he says, "Be violent. Violence solves your problem." Violence is the best solution to any problem. And now we have the Proud Boys and the Patriot Prayer Group and their affiliated bully boys and thugs out there running around and curb stomping people while the cops sit around and go, "Well, you don't really know, I mean, but they got free speech." Stomp, stomp, stomp. Yeah. Yeah, it was, Marty says, you mean his satirical World War II propaganda film set in space? Yeah, but you've also got to understand that if you're a reader of Robert A. Heinlein's work, it's peppered with that kind of proto, and it's not satirical when Heinlein writes it. He believes it. He was a fascist-leaning libertarian. You can take, for instance, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress and set it side by side with that awful science fiction novel authored by Ayn Rand, and the libertarian fascism that is promoted by Heinlein in The Moon is a Harsh Mistress is a lot more palatable and a lot more interesting than what Ayn Rand is preaching, because all Ayn Rand wanted to do was preach. I'm kind of grateful for the fact that Paul Ryan was handing out Atlas Shrugged and not The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, because it might have actually worked better. God damn it, I gotta quit saying that shit into the universe's ear. If you get the idea, it's 20 minutes past the hour. We're almost halfway through the program for this Titanic Tuesday. And we started the evening with $660 to raise. I mean, $460 to raise, $660 total, but $460 to just come even with the week. And we've still got $660 to raise. And hopefully, God Almighty, if we could knock out $260 of that so we're only facing $400 tomorrow, that'd be huge. Because I really do cherish the ability to do fundraising free radio for a week at the end of every month. And it would be kind of nice not to be talking about a great big fundraising holes on our 15th birthday tomorrow. So there's that. Let's go over to the phones. Tracy, are you really stuck on the 101, or did you make that up?
No, bros, I bullshit you now, motherfucker. I am stuck in this shit. Hi, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, the plane crashed like 5 hours ago.
Well, I didn't hear about it. If I had to know, I seriously did not hear about it. And I'm just undone because now I'm really pissed that I didn't hear about it. And here's the thing: I usually listen to the news traffic radio station out here, KNX 1070. And the one day, that I didn't listen. The one fucking day that I did not listen to it, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, Todd just texted me. He's like, oh my God, you were serious. Yes, Todd.
But at least, you know, you've got this going for you. Yeah, I was stuck in traffic the day the World War II Nazi fighter plane crashed on the 101.
Because here's the funny part. Because what I heard, when I finally turned on the radio, and I heard it, and I'm like, well, at this point, there's nothing I can do about it. But this is the difference between California and probably any other state in the union. In California, it said on the radio station, it said German insignia. They didn't even say swastika. They said World War II plane with a German insignia. I shit you not.
But to be fair, out on the wings, it's the Black Cross.
The Black Cross, I know, but come on. If it was a World War II plane, and you know, I mean, there weren't any swastikas on those planes. But to be fair, you're right. It was probably a Black Cross. But I don't give a fuck. It's goddamn Nazi plane.
Well, no, it's probably got a swastika on the tail.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I said, on the tail. You know, but just the fact that they wouldn't even say swastikas on my point being that they wouldn't even say swastika on the radio out here. It's like, we're not going to do it.
So they couldn't say swastika on the tail. Has anybody tweeted at them? You know, why can't you people say swastika?
Right. I haven't seen, like I said, because I'm at a dead stop. So that's why I could send you emails, because I'm at a dead stop. So it's like, because if I had known about it, there's another way I could have went. I could have taken the 118 and went the back way and came around and avoided all this. Even though on the 118, get this, there was an accident on the 118, and it was down to two lanes, which still would have been better than this madness, because I have been on this freeway for an hour, and I don't even think I've gone 2 miles at this point. So if I ever see my home again, it'll be a miracle, because I'm on my way to take the girl home that I take on her school run, and she lives in Agora. So I'm like, yay. So this shit happened 5 hours ago. See, this is another reason I don't watch broadcast television. Because if I'd have been watching broadcast television, I would have heard it on the news. You know, they would have broken in. It would have been, you know, breaking news or whatever. But no. So, yeah. I'm a bit peeved.
I can understand.
I'm just really, you know, but this whole, I mean, and then listening to you talking about with Megan, when white people pull out that, First of all, let me give a shout out to myself. And I think I deserve a cowbell for using false equivalency correctly.
You absolutely do. Yes.
Sometimes I'm not the sharpest knife in a drawer and all that, but I'll hear things and I may not really understand what they mean, but I was watching, they did the reboot of Murphy Brown, and I watched Thursday night's episode earlier today. And the guy that played Jim Dial made an appearance because they had a guy that was their version of Steve Bannon, and he wanted to come on the show to debate Murphy Brown, right? And Murphy Brown's like, I don't think so. I'm not going to give him any airplay, you know. And of course, the network was like, but it's going to be great for the ratings. And the guy that played Jim Dial came on the show and was like, no, this is not what you do. That is false equivalency. And I'm like, okay, I get what that means. And then when you did talking about the whole blackface and whiteface, I'm like, God damn it, that's false equivalency. I get to use it. I was so excited.
Isn't it just amazing when these theories show up in your very own life?
Right, and it sucks. It sucks that these things are even coming up. That there's even such a thing as false equivalency, that they are using. They're pulling. The playbook and fascism 2.0 and all these other things. They're pulling out every trick in the book to use these things. And it's like the bullshit of equal airtime. It's bullshit. I don't need to hear from Steve Bannon. We don't need to hear from the little pansy motherfucker. And I know that's a terrible thing to say. I'm a gay woman, and I really shouldn't say pansy. But that
Milo Yiannopoulos. Yeah, right.
That motherfucker. Yeah, him. Mm-hmm. Him and Man Coulter and all of these people. Shows like on channels like MSNBC and CNN, you don't need to give them airtime. You don't need to give them any kind of airtime. It's like you said, that's just why you don't have right wingers on your show. You don't need to give them any airtime because they have plenty of airtime on their own. They're across the country. They have the radio stations. They have the TV stations. They have all these things. They have the religious stations and all this other bullshit. We don't, on the very few little liberal left-wing stuff that we have, we don't need to give them any airtime at all.
No, they've got plenty. That's been the operative theory here. That's why white wingers are not allowed on this program. By the way, I do have an update. I do have an update for you, courtesy of both Flavio and Marty. There was no swastika on the aircraft. It's finally been identified. It's from a group that calls themselves Condor Squadron, and they're a reenactment group that flies old planes dressed up in World War II markings for reenactments. And so this was actually...
Why would they got them flying today?
This was a T-6 Texan, a training aircraft from World War II, that was dressed up to look like a fighter plane from the Luftwaffe, and so it had the black crosses with the white outlines on the wings.
Okay, all that I know is that I'm never going to see my house again. I'm usually home by now,
It sounds like your young charge is something less than happy.
Well, she's actually so I'm not going to stay on the phone long because she's happy. She's stable.
Oh, okay.
She has her. No. She's fine. I'm the one that's about to pull what's left of my hair out.
I don't know the lay of the land here. How far are you from home?
Oh, well, let's see. Well, first of all, if this was if on a normal day, I'm really only like 6 miles away from her house. And it's taking me an hour to go through.
And so there's just, there's no alternative route, nothing, you're screwed.
Mm-mm. I'm just screwed. So basically, once I get, there's an exit, once I get to, if I ever get to this exit, which is Las Virgenes. And once I get to Las Virgenes, I can get off on Las Virgenes along with everybody else who's going to get off on Las Virgenes and go, there's like a, there's a street that goes along the side of the freeway. And like every, like I said, like everybody else that's trying to get off the freeway, you know, everybody's going to be on, getting off on Las Virgenes. And then, you know, taking a side street that goes, that runs along the 101. So it's going to probably take me a good, probably another hour to get her home. And then I'm going to go the back way. So if I'm lucky, I'll be home at around 7, maybe.
Golly, Moses.
I'm hoping for 6.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at my own clock here. So for you to be home at 6 would be another hour and a half on out there. It's 2 yeah. and a half if you're home at 7.
Mhm. So it's basically me, you know, talking to you know, I would be happy if I could, you know, that I would be home by the time that the show is over. I would be happier than a pig in shit. And all that, but I don't know how it, you know, it's terrible. It is absolutely because nobody is just. This is one of those things. See, this is like this is one of those discussions that my son and I always have about living in places where there's only one way in and one way out, and that's like this is Agora. And like Simi Valley and all these other places where white people run away to get away from black people or brown people or whatever. They go to these communities where, you know, there's only really one way in and one way out. And there's, you know, no side streets along the freeway. See, even though I live in Encino, which is about the most white, most Jewish part of the valley that there is, at least if something happened, like if there's something happened on the 101 by my house, there's so many other ways that I can go to get home without even having to get on the freeway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could get in and out with no issue. But coming here is probably kind of like where you live. It's like, you know, I don't know how it is where you live, but is it like, you know, how many different ways is it to get in and out where you live?
Yeah, it's...
Is it pretty remote?
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's basically one way to Charleston, and any other way to Charleston is going to take you 2 extra hours.
Right.
Or an extra hour and a half, depending on.
Exactly. You know, which is easy.
Or what happens here every third Saturday in October when they shut the bridge down. And all the people who traveled 19 to get from like Canada to the beach and whatnot, or back, find themselves wandering through my little town, going,
"What the fuck?
Where the hell am I?"
Right.
And because you got to loop all the and basically it's the route you had to travel to get to the other side of the river, back before the bridge was built.
Ah.
And it took every bit of a half an hour back then to get to Fayetteville, which takes 10 minutes with the bridge, which is why the bridge was built. Yeah.
This example right here, like if I win Lotto tonight, by the way, if I win Lotto tonight, you're getting your solar panels and all that.
You're going off grid.
That's one of the first checks that it's going to be. I'm coming to West Virginia, and we're gonna get the contractor out that day. so you can go off the damn grid.
Sounds
so
good. We might have to do a little construction. We might have to do a little construction to house the battery bank, but, you know, apart from that.
That's what I mean, honey, if I win the $1.2 billion or however much it is, I don't think that's going to really matter, really. I think I could front that bill. I think we're good.
Yeah, because and I don't know what it is now, because on the day of the drawing, it tends to go up. It was 1.6 billion, so it may be approaching two by now with people going out. Oh well, now I'll buy a ticket.
Now I'll buy a ticket.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't buy a ticket when it's just some pissant 40 million.
Right. What's the point? 40 million. What do I, you know?
That'll be eat up in taxes. I won't have anything. I won't have but about 20 million after that.
Right. That, you know, I'm going to, you know, you're going to need.
And if I take the cash option, I might even be lucky to get away with 10 million.
Exactly. Depending on what state you live in. See, in California.
That's not worth $2.
No. Please don't think you're going to cut me off and get it. See, this is you.
Oh, I hate those people. I hate those people. Oh, Tracy, I do. No,
tell me
you got some asshole going down the breakdown lane looking for a way in to.
Oh, no. This is not the breakdown lane. They're to the left of me trying to cut me off because the bitch is in a Range Rover.
Ooh.
And also, now what she did, she went around me, and now she went up on to the right up to the off ramp, and now she's going to cut people off on the off ramp. And I hope nobody lets her over, because she's in a brand new Range Rover. Because she saw, oh, they let her over. You pussy.
Tracy.
I'm sorry. I know. She has an earphone. She can't hear me.
No, but it's just, and people are out there thinking, you know, I'm going to be the good Samaritan. I'm going to let this person who thinks that they're so privileged they deserve to be two spots ahead of me, I'm going to let them in.
Right, right.
Ain't nobody going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere.
I'm not the good Samaritan. I have to wait. You know, I've been stuck on the freeway for an hour, just like your ass has been stuck on the freeway for an hour, you fucking. And you think that you're better than me? You blonde hair, blue-eyed.
But Muffy has places to be. Goodness me, the brie will have gone stale, and the Chablis will have breathed. It'll breathe. I mean, we like to let our Chablis breathe, but all the life will have breathed out of it. I mean, I just can't. My spray tan is melting.
Please tell Bob to stop cringing so hard. I can see his face now.
Hey, wait. I think this is the first conversation we've had that's involved texting to the person on the phone by somebody listening to the program. Wait. It's the day before our 15th anniversary, and we've invented a new kind of radio.
God, oh mother of God! This right here, this is some. If such a thing as unmitigated bullshit, this is my life right now. This is my life. I cannot believe this is happening. This is just, you know, it's. And I understand people's frustration. I'm just as frustrated as everybody else on the freeway. But the thing is, everybody, like the people in normal cars are waiting their turn. You know, like I'm waiting my turn. The people in normal cars are waiting. It's the motherfuckers in the Maseratis and the Range Rovers and the BMWs and all that. They don't feel like they have to wait their turn. They don't feel like they have to wait their turn. You know, when I should have been off the freeway by now, I don't get off the freeway because these people are cutting me off.
And the only reason why I'm not going to get, you know, more bold with it is because I have this child in my car. Because trust and believe, it was just my happy black ass by myself. Oh. It would be an entirely different situation. Because I wouldn't care. Because, see, if you hit me, you're in the wrong. Like these people that are just making their own lane. There's three lanes. There's two left turn lanes and one right turn lane. So, of course, the people that are in the right turn lane are turning left. So that means now they're going to try to cut me off because they figured that they could just turn left. I'm like, see? And I'm not letting, you know, and now because they turn left and block me, now I'm blocking oncoming traffic. Yes? I love my life, but
I can't go anywhere because the people are blocking me. I'm sorry, sir. Now people are blowing at me because, you know, other people. This is my life. This is my life. Like you said, the people that are going, you know, that are doing their level best to not let me off the freeway. Oh my God. And like I said, I'm so mad at myself that the one time, you know what?
You're working your way into a promo for whatever that station is, because all you got to do is call them and say, "I will never not listen to you again." The one day,
exactly.
You know, I got trapped on the 101 behind a Nazi wannabe airplane.
Exactly. It's like, you know, of all. You know, you guys couldn't have done a reenactment of anything else. You had to, you know, why couldn't you have, you know, dressed your plane up as, you know, as Japanese fighter planes?
Here's the thing. They might not have crashed.
Ah, that's that too.
but you can't get parts for them anymore, and nobody can tell the difference between a T-6 and a BF-109. I mean, what the hell?
You know, the only thing I know is that, you know, all joking aside, I'm just glad that the person that was on the plane wasn't hurt. No one was killed. Thank God. No one was killed.
I've been wondering, so did he bail out and just let it, you know, crash into the highway?
That I do not know. I just know that whoever was on the plane, that they weren't hurt. I mean, I don't know if they were hurt, but they weren't. No one was killed, because had someone been killed, it would have been even worse. Because that means really you're going to try to go up the bike lane.
Well, they're in the bike lane now. That's beautiful.
This is what I've done, because, see, you're not going to go up the bike lane and then try to cut me off. So I just moved my car over just a smidge.
Just to make it impossible. Yeah.
Just to make it impossible for anything but a bike.
Right. You're protecting them from making assholes of themselves. Yeah, I've never been stuck in L.A. traffic. I've been stuck in D.C. traffic. I've been stuck in Atlanta traffic. Jesus, on the way home from New Orleans this past summer, I got stuck on, wait a minute, the 10, because it runs through Mississippi too. I got stuck on the 10 when a truckload of limes overturned.
No.
And I was there for an hour or more, and everybody was just in park, so, you know, step out of the car, and it smells like a margarita. I was like, damn, where's the party?
Without the tequila and the triple sec.
It was just an overpowering scent of lime. It was either margaritas or men's aftershave. I couldn't tell which.
Or key lime pie.
Yeah, but it didn't have that whole Eagle brand milk thing going for it.
No, yeah, see, there you go. You have to have the Eagle brand milk, because without the Eagle brand milk, it's just, you know, it's not worth it. No, I just, so on a happy note, you know, I was in
Georgia over the weekend. And at my brother's party, we made my brother-in-law, who would have been Trump, very uncomfortable for the whole weekend.
Oh, good for you.
It was me and my sister, my sister-in-law, and the wives of friends of my brother. And we were all at the table talking about what it's like to be mothers of young black men or just black women in this country in the land of Trump. And then Bob came and sat down and got an earful. Because, you know, like that whole backing to our, you know, previous in our conversation about giving them equal time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of making them feel comfortable about their choice of who they voted for. You know, protecting their feelings.
Right.
I'm not protecting your feelings. Because remember, the day after the election, how my son was attacked by a Trump supporter?
Yep.
And thank God he survived. So I can't protect your feelings when I'm the mother of a young black man in this country. I can't protect your feelings when I'm a black woman in this country, a lesbian black person in this country. I can't protect your feelings because, see, I have to protect my life. I have to protect the life of my child. So I can't worry about your, you know, they call us snowflakes. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Democrats tiptoeing around these fools because they don't care about our feelings, which is demonstrated day after day after day.
Snowflakes.
You have this, you know, this orangutan talking about there's Muslims in the caravan of people running for their lives. These people are walking how many thousands of miles to try to get to make better lives for themselves? They're not coming just for food stamps and all that. They're coming to try to stay alive. When they talk about this, these people on welfare, I'm like, really? What welfare? What about the corporate welfare that the oil companies are getting? What about the corporate welfare that Walmart gets every day?
Well, there's good welfare and there's bad welfare, right?
You know, what about the corporate welfare that Big Agri gets every day? What about the welfare that was used to bail the fucking banks out?
Ooh, now there's a good one. But the fact of the matter is, this, and I finally heard somebody on the TV earlier today, I don't know who she was, say that this caravan is just a little too convenient for Trump and his maggots. It's just a little too convenient.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's a caravan right before the election.
You know what I mean? I haven't seen any proof, but as Dave Nywert said, and I mentioned it last night, it's just a little strange. But meanwhile, the maggots are mailing explosive devices to George Soros, and pissing and moaning over on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda sites about the fact that it didn't blow him up. So, you've raised an issue here, and let me just touch this for a moment. I'm not going to be making I'm not going to be making any more jokes about George Soros money checks.
Please don't.
I'm not going to do because, I mean, I've known for a long time that George Soros is a neo-Nazi, Klansman, white supremacist, racist dog whistle, okay? I've known that.
Oh, yeah.
And so we make sport of it by talking about the fact that for all the money he apparently throws around, the people who are working hardest to push the agenda seem to be sucking hind tit.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, as someone who is not Jewish, I'm not going to be making that joke anymore, that gag, that bit, whatever. I'm going to try to keep from doing it as a matter of respect for people who have to deal with real, live, honest-to-God, no-kidding anti-Semitism every day of their damn lives. And yeah. and who have a specified horror of that kind of behavior that is not a hell of a lot different. I mean, it'd be like me making Klan jokes, okay? Because those things, as a privileged white male, I need to be more cognizant and mindful of what of the horrific impact of things like making the arguments about, you know, the Jewish financial rules the world, blah blah, and we even heard it in that bullshit robocall on behalf of Ron DeSantis. I mean DeSantis. You know, the Jews started the slave trade.
You know, because I couldn't hear when I first heard you play that. I thought you were playing something from what was that show back in the day? Kingfish.
Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy. That's what I thought it was at first. That you were playing Amos and Andy. You know, to prove a point about, you know, blackface and racism, right? And not, you know, and it took me a minute to realize that it was the robocall that you've been talking about. And it's like, oh my God.
I mean, you know, that's a story from today. Ripped from the pages of the headlines.
It's just, I mean, you know, we don't need fiction anymore to get crazy shit. We just get facts. We just, you know, like you said, rip from the headline. Rip from the damn headlines, kind of. It's just this kind of. This is just. We are living. I don't even know what, how, or why, or how to describe what's going on now. I don't. Because I never. I mean, I live in a bubble living in California. There's a lot of things that because I lived here, I didn't experience, you know, there was a subtle racism that I dealt with, which is worse than, you know, straight up overt racism that I would get in the South. But, you know, I've dealt with racism, but not on the level that, like, somebody living in the South would have dealt with. But to see and hear the stuff that is coming out now, like, you know, before Trump, it's like, okay, now we got to do is, like, you know, like, BC before Christ and now BT before Trump. At least the racists had the common courtesy and decency to keep that shit behind closed doors.
Not anymore.
The country club set.
Hey, remember those 53% of white women who, even after they heard the Access Hollywood tape, said, "I'm going to vote for him because even if he grabs me, he's going to make America great again by doing it." Some right wing broadcast outfit started sticking microphones in the faces of some white women and one white man in Texas last night, you know, at that high school gymnasium or whatever it was that he was barely able to fill, instead of the biggest, definitely the biggest stadium in Texas. That's where we're going to rent it out. The biggest stadium we can find. But so it's just a short clip, but I thought it might prove a not so gentle reminder for, you know, where we are. If I can get the damn thing to play. Ooh, I really, I hate this new update. No? Not going to happen? Well, damn it. Oh, this is really weird and annoying. We'll get there in a minute. Well, or not. Okay, well. Sorry, Tracy, this is just really... Oh well, maybe I'm not gonna. Maybe I'm not.
No,
gonna,
I'm here.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe I'm not gonna get it after all. The bottom line is that when they stuck the microphone in the white lady's face, she said, "I just want to hear what he's gonna say about this invasion of illegals, because that's what it is, and it ain't right." But her buddy, the one in the MAGA shirt and the MAGA hat, then pipes up and says, "I don't really care what he says, because I'm just going to agree with it. I love every word that comes out of that man's mouth."
Oh, my God.
The territory is laid out pretty, is laid out pretty, pretty plainly for anybody who wants to. Or, you know, has cares to look to see it. It's going to take a lot of it's going to take a lot of doing to make that blue wave happen.
My sister-in-law just recently went back to work a few months ago, because fortunately for her, my brother makes, you know, a very good living, and she just went back to work because her daughters are, one's in, you know, middle school and one's in high school. So they're old enough that she doesn't have to be home, you know, when they come home from school and whatnot and all that. And so she works with this company, and it's owned by, you know, white lenders. And apparently one day T-Rex was going to be in town, and they were like, "Oh, my God, I'm so excited." And then they realized that my sister-in-law was there, and they got real quiet, like, you know. You know, because it's like, see, this is the thing about Trump and his supporters. If he was so amazing, if he's not the racist that you guys claim that he's not, or the sexist or the misogynist or the xenophobic jerk piece of crap that he is, then why do you talk about him in hushed tones around people that you are pretty sure did not vote for him? Or do you not, or not mention him at all? Because, like, my brother-in-law knows better not to say anything about him around us. You know?
Yeah.
So if he was just such this amazing person, then why aren't you bragging about him? Except for that, you know, I'm talking about the people that are supposedly the ones that, you know, are supposedly those decent Americans, the decent Republicans, or the moderate Republicans.
Yeah, the ones that just had all that economic anxiety.
Right, and voted party over country. Well, you know, I'm a Republican, I got to vote Republican regardless of, you know. You know, I know he was an asshole and everything, and, you know,
he might be an asshole, but he's gonna protect the fetuses.
Right, and he's gonna bring back them jobs. Where are the jobs at, Bob? All those manufacturing jobs that were supposed to be coming back. He's been in office.
Well,
for
he just makes up stuff, Tracy. Like, And U.S. Steel is going to build 7 new plants. U.S. Steel ain't building no new plants. Or the riots in California.
Wait, what? We have riots here?
Yeah, you didn't know? Yeah, yeah. He couldn't fill it.
I can't wait, Bob. I can't say anything because I didn't know about the plane crash.
Well, hold on. I got to help here. Yeah, because see, he couldn't fill up an arena in Vegas, so he went to a little airport in Elko, Nevada, to talk last weekend, and he said, "And in California, they're rioting over the sanctuary cities, rioting."
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard about that. And I live in California, so.
Oh wait, I think I got the white ladies back.
Oh, yay.
You ready to check it out? You got your hockey puck?
Well, yeah, I'm stuck in traffic, so I might as well have something to
do. All right, here we go.
What are you guys hoping to hear President Trump speak about today?
The caravan.
I would like to know a little bit more about what he's going to do, because that's an invasion of our country. And, you know, none of us here like it, so we'll see what he has to say about it tonight. But I love everything that comes out of his mouth, so...
It doesn't really matter what he says. We'll support it.
Vote Republican.
I'm a Trumpet. I'll support anything. Yes. I just want to hear him speak. That's all I want to hear.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a Trumpet. I'll support anything. He can grab me. I wish he'd grab me.
Now, when he throws us into a war and they reinstitute the draft, and your husband or your brother or your dad or whomever has to go to war, you remember that shit, okay, bitch?
Yeah. Let's see. I think we're going to have to name the first one there Caravan Karen. Sorry, Karen. Not good, Karen. Steve, yeah, Miss Karen, Steve's beloved. Not all Karens, okay? I mean, oh dear, I've done it to myself again. But yeah, you.
Caravan Kathy, do we have any Kathy?
I think we got some Kathy, but yeah, okay, Caravan Kathy. You get the idea. Well, Tracy, I'm sorry you're stuck out there, but yeah.
You know, it at least
you're a pro, okay? You're a pro.
You know, I am a pro, and, you know, the good news is Jan called and told me that I don't have to cook dinner, so there's that. So anyway, I'm going to go. Goodbye, and 20-dollar challenge.
Oh, thank you. That would be huge. That would knock it down a little bit.
Tracy Porter stuck in traffic.
Let's see. Tracy's crashed Nazi plane on the 101 $20 challenge.
There you go.
Because you don't get to say that every day. Tracy, good luck. Hang in there.
Thank you, baby.
All right.
And I will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye now. So there it is. It's about 3 minutes past the hour. We've got a $20 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy, stuck in traffic because somebody crashed their Nazi fetish plane. You've got enough money to afford an airplane, and so you look up and you go, you know what? I want to paint. It's an American-made plane that was used to train American pilots in the Second World War, or maybe after. But I want to paint it up to look like a Nazi plane. That's what I want to do because I got airplane money. Sweet Jesus. So there's a $20 challenge on the table that would take us down to 620 to finish fundraising, 420 to finish the evening. And hopefully someone will respond to it. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Hope you get home soon. Meanwhile, let's run over to the stress line and check in with Arnold. Hey, Arnold.
Hi, Bob. So I might have told this story before, but I'm going to rant for a minute because you and Tracy went a whole bunch of cool places, and I'm sorry she's stuck in traffic, but that was a really good conversation. So there's many things going on, many things that are really scary. When Republicans have a voice everywhere you look. You turn on the TV, they're there. You turn on the radio, they're there. I mean, AM and FM radio is gross. I have a family member who I was fixing a car for recently. And, you know, as part of fixing the car, I had to turn the car on. And we try not to move anybody's seat or mess with their radio or whatever. But I started the vehicle for a couple seconds, and the AM, it was like Mark Levin or something, comes on.
Oh, the man with the voice made for print, yes.
It's just so terrible. And people confuse those people with the mood of the country, and they confuse those people with a voice of the people. And it's shocking, and it blows my mind. I think that even some intelligent people that I know have fallen for this this propaganda, and I would think they would be smarter than to not see through it, but for whatever goddamn reason, they don't. But that's not why I called. But that's why I called. But so, okay, so here's a funny story, and if I told it once before or whatever, I'm really sorry. But so when I first started in public radio, I got this opportunity to be a tower engineer, even though I didn't really know anything about broadcast radio. I got this gig because, well, it's a long story. I get this gig. I'm there about a month, and the guy who was the manager slash owner said, "You're really good at this stuff." So I said, "You're really good at this shit. So why don't you just take over, and I'll worry about raising money, and you do everything." And I said, "Okay, why not?" I was like 31. What the fuck? So, all right. So I do this. So my first live show, one of my first live shows. Sports show, half-hour deal. Some guy comes in, he talks about sports. You know, he tries to sound like he's on real radio. And he was just insulting people. He's making fun of people's race and their size and their color and just all the things that are just horrible about regular radio. You know, just trying to parrot all that negative Fox Sports and ESPN radio crap. So I let him go for his 30 minutes. And I bring up the pre-roll stuff. And I said, "You a fucking Republican?" And he goes, "You can't ask me that question." I said, "Answer the question. Are you a fucking Republican?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, get the fuck out and never come back."
Click.
And So, like I said, it's funny to me. I mean, I am in charge of this public station that was dying, and the people that wanted to volunteer wanted to parrot all the bad things that were on the radio, and it made no sense to me. It was like, you know, for a bunch of years we played really good lefty content, and what we got from the community was a lot of, you know, "I don't want you to use my name. I'm not going to give you any money, but I love what you do." And then the people that wanted to be on the radio, they either wanted to play music, which is fine, I guess, or they wanted to, like, be a, you know, a Rush. And
yeah.
It was like, you know, the people that wanted to be on the left, if you will, everything was always confused with music and conspiracy theory, and it was a lot of really hard to find good left content. I respect what you said a few minutes ago about no more Soros jokes, because for a long time it's really been clear that there is no mystery money on the left. I mean, it looks like a handful of people have mystery money, but they got more money than we do. But I think they just have, you know, different pockets to reach in than we do. I think that's all it is. I don't know that it's his pocket. I frankly doubt it's any major.
Well, I mean, there's money out there. It's how they spend it.
That's right.
And
that's kind of what I mean.
I know this by hard personal experience. There are big outfits out there that have big money, and I know you know other people who have been engaged in this too.
Right.
And if you're not their cousin, or if you're not married to the boss's wife's hairdresser's brother-in-law, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah, totally. I know exactly what you mean. And that's, you know, it took a lifetime to, and some people don't believe that to be true, but all of our society works like that. If you see a person on the highway next to you in a car or a truck or whatever, and they look like their life is completely together, there is some grain of that exact description in their life, whether it's their cousin, their aunt, their uncle, their brother-in-law, their hairdresser. There is some favor somewhere. Or success doesn't happen. I'm convinced of that. I know that people will say, "Oh, I'm self-made." I don't believe any of this. There's always a hand up. There's always an unexplained something.
And I mean, it's maddening. Because
when you started
telling that, you know, when you mentioned that business about, well, you can't use my name, and I'm not going to give you money, but I love what you're doing. I remember sitting in a big swanky ass boardroom, and them said, "Well, you know, we'll be happy to provide you guests to bring the message, but we don't have any money." I said, "Well, keep your guests too, because I do a damn fine job getting the message across. I don't have a problem doing that, and I'll be happy to share your message. But don't think you're doing me any favors by getting me by putting somebody on the phone with me."
You know, what's funny you mentioned that is, in doing this for a while, one of the things I've noticed is the right wing. You can get daily emails which lay out their talking points. You can get daily emails which lay out.
I get them every day.
A list of people you could have on the radio. Some of them actually come with a fee. Have this blabbermouth and receive this much. And, you know, get this in turn and this in kind. There's all these things that people don't even know exist that's out there. And you'd be crazy to take anybody. And a show we all know, a big lefty program, always insists on starting their first segment with a battle with a right winger. And it blows my mind, and I had a friend tell me, "Oh, don't be upset by that. That's just the way they get money into the show." And I said, "Don't be upset by it. They don't need that 3 minute back and forth. You know that they have radio stations, they have television stations. Let them."
And then you'll have some ancient anti-feminist fossil, and somebody will call her a national treasure.
Oh,
I know.
I didn't want to get into Trump at all, really. But
it's almost impossible, Arnold. Don't beat yourself up.
This thing about the journalists, and it's okay to kill journalists and beat them up and choke them and
body slam them, yeah, or chop them into tiny pieces.
The bone saw thing, I'm usually pretty okay with hearing about death on the radio or in the news because we've become a little bit desensitized to it, a lot desensitized to it. But the bone saw thing really got me. The fact that they needed to make an example of him to such a biblical choice of death. I mean, you know, want to show your family, want to show your anybody looking to be like you. And the first thing I think of is people like us. I think of anybody doing anything like this where, you know, we don't really care about what we say to power. I mean, I would tell power to stick it right where you know where. You know, it doesn't I'm not afraid of that. I guess I'm not afraid of being cut up with a bone saw, but I am sort of, but I'm not making light of it, but we shouldn't be where we are. And I've said this before. I always sound like a little kid. We shouldn't be where we are. But for fuck's sake, we shouldn't be where we are. It doesn't make sense to me that
no, we're that's, in 2018. No, that's why when the breathless news was given and Kamala Harris came out and said, "Oh, gosh, I certainly was saddened to hear the announcement about Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and how wonderful she was." I was sitting there, Arnold, going, "The fuck you say?"
Yeah.
That is the one reason That woman is the one reason that this this entire nightmare, hellscape nightmare that we've been in for 18 fucking years happened. All she had to do was to agree with four other justices who said, let the lower courts do the lower court's job, and we don't intervene in it. That's all she had to do. Instead, she signs off with Fat Tony and Kennedy and Rehnquist and Scalia and foists dim leader upon us for 8 years and begins the tortured process that winds up with Donald Trump on January the 20th, 2017. So, no, you won't be... No, I don't think, you know, if it was up to me, when they put her headstone in the ground, it wouldn't say first female Supreme Court justice. It would say, here lies Sandra Day O'Connor, fucked America, gave us George W. Bush.
Well, you know, we try to explain that particular case to people all the time, because I think people don't realize that, I mean, for lack of a better point, Gore won.
You mean like Hillary did?
Exactly.
So those were two close cases, and that goes exactly to the heart of my argument. Barack Obama won in 2008 by 9 million votes. I think he won in 2012 by 7 million votes.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Our margins of victory in this fascist America must be so large as to be insurmountable. Okay, but I did want to bring up one thing about a radio ad that I think is really hilarious.
Go ahead.
I have seen a radio ad that's running for Joe Manchin that features Jerry West, basketball legend. You know, the logo. Joe Manchin's one of the finest people I've ever known. He makes me happy to go and vote. And then, hi, I'm Bob Huggins, head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers basketball team. I went to school with Joe Manchin, and I can't wait to vote for Joe. But here's the one. Hi.
We went to the same kegers together.
No, wait. Hi, I'm Nick Saban, head coach of the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. I grew up with Joe. If I could, it would be a privilege and an honor to vote for Joe Manchin. I wonder if all the maggots rooting for the Crimson Tide who think that Nick Saban shits ice cream. I wonder if they know that he's endorsed a Democrat back in his birth state of West Virginia.
That's completely insane.
Yeah.
Is he going to win?
I expect so. But
I imagine there's nobody, like, his opposition's probably a bunch of chodes. Is that where we're at?
No. Joe Manchin's opposition is a very well-funded pill pusher. Pill pushing Patty Morrissey. Literally an opioid lobbyist, and his wife's an opioid lobbyist. And when he got to be attorney general, he signed off on a sweetheart deal that let the opioid companies off with a slap on the wrist.
Well, that's really convenient.
And they're running ads about how Joe's only in it for himself.
Oh yeah, they're only in it for themselves. That's kind of a little prediction going on there.
Go ahead.
Why is it okay for Republicans to break government when they get in power and do the most, like, completely crazy things and self-enrich and go down the line and get their cousin a job and, you know, just pick an asshole act and do it, and they get away with it? And then when Democrats are even a little bit in control, we have to have, like, morals, and we have to, like, you know, follow the rules.
Oh, and we can't, yeah, I mean, we can't talk bad about them. The coarse language has got to go.
And someone has to say they're sorry. fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't get that.
Well, you know, that's one of the oldest, that's one of the oldest Alinsky rules out there. And don't for a minute think that the Republicans don't know rules for radicals. Okay. One of Alinsky's rules is that you absolutely hold your opponent to their own rules while you don't obey them. So
beautiful.
So, you know, when Donald Trump just lies serially and then insists that you know, Pocahontas or whatever, that's
right.
Straight out of the Alinsky playbook.
Yeah, and then we're not allowed to. We're not allowed.
But
to
if we do it, if we do it, we're a mob.
Yeah, or you know, this is where I'm really getting twisted. I remember a lot of the anti-Obama hate. We were producing a weekly show during that time period, and I was doing a lot of research, and I was doing a lot of YouTube crawling and looking at the way people were treating our president. Not that I'm the greatest Obama fan or anything. It's not like I'm not being a fanboy.
And see, as progressives, we have to say that.
Have to. Yep, absolutely. Because, yeah. I mean, he was great, you know, but not great.
He was great, but he wasn't nearly great enough.
Great. No, not didn't make it great again.
And
right.
He was severely lacking in ideological purity.
Well, I'm not going to go all psycho, like, you know, tinfoil hat, you know. I just the drone thing was really a big issue for me. I think there was a lot of issues where he could have you know, stepped up. You know, and Rick points out all the time, you know, Obama, he said that he was going to you know, go out on marches with
put on his walking shoes and stand with the picketers on the picket line.
Didn't do it. Yep. Sorry. So But so now we're in a situation where we have Trump. Now, these people said crazy stuff. I won't even repeat to goof on what they said. They said things about Obama that were completely crazy, like he was an animal, like he was subhuman, like we had no dignity in as a culture. They said such offensive things. Now, when we pick on this actual fake president, this actual cartoon character, this actual person who really, I mean, none of us should really listen to what he says. I mean, I'm not just being a hater. I mean, as a person who grew up in New York and you know, a former New Yorker, I want to look at it. That city, that state knows he's a fraud. My inner New Yorker knows he's fake. I mean, he's been a joke for a long time. So we shouldn't really take what he says seriously. No one should follow his orders. That thing that woman said about, I love everything that comes out of his mouth. I mean, that's got to be like, you know, we'll give you $750 if you say anything that, you know, read this list of bullshit. You know, here's some money. You know, it's got to be that type of thing. No one really feels that way, I hope.
No, those were real live maggots.
What a mind fuck.
Arnold, it's a cult, buddy. I mean, well, they're gone. I got a story here. I got a story here, you know, again, fear-mongering over the so-called caravan. And somebody at the New York Times caught up with a maggot from Minnesota. Her name's Carol Shields, and she's 75 years old. She lives in northern Minnesota near the Canadian border.
Okay.
I repeat, she lives in northern Minnesota by the Canadian border, and she's terrified that the MS-13 ISIS Middle Eastern caravan is going to come and take her and other good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, white Christian evangelicals' homes in northern Minnesota. In northern Minnesota near the Canadian border.
What's to stop them? We have a lot of people who live on lakes in the summer and winter someplace else. When they come back in the spring, their house would be occupied.
And they sit there and they watch Fox. You know, maybe they click over to the Weather Channel once in a while. But mostly they watch Fox.
So old people that watch Fox, when they leave their house, they have, first of all, I would bet that 95% of all people that watch Fox have ADT or some variation of ADT, some kind of, please fear for me, mother alarm company. Oh, please fear for me. So they lock the door like 3 times. They have like, 4 different kinds of locks. And they're afraid of everyone who is a shade of a color other than their own. See, Fox reinforces your negative stereotypes. So it tells you that black kids are bad. It tells you that the other is the problem.
Fox is executing a typical fascist state propaganda.
They've been doing it their entire existence.
Yeah, they have.
It's something that, they were a mouthpiece for. They were a mouthpiece for Dim Leader, big time.
I mean, 75 this 75-year-old lady in Minnesota. When she started watching Fox, she was probably
55.
No, 50.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. 45. Right.
One third of her life has been consumed by her consuming the steady, poisonous stream of fear that flows out of that sewer.
You know, I've been trying to explain to older people who I know that they are being affected. Their minds have been broken intentionally by this Fox mechanism. And I explain how, you hate Clinton, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, you can thank him for Fox. And they're like, huh?
Make the Scooby-Doo noise.
And then, they want to know, why? I can hate Clinton more? And it's like, well, yeah, because he broke your mind because of the enabling Fox. And, you lay out the whole Telecommunications Act, and you lay out, all the cool things with deregulation that Clinton was a part of when it comes to radio. And it literally laid out, and I don't know that he had any way of knowing this, maybe, but he laid out the framework that allowed the right wing and the churches to buy up radio across the country. And it freed up markets. And it just what you wouldn't want to have happen was made easy. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And, I'm an idiot, and I hope that Obama kind of helped, maybe Obama's FCC would have tried to do something, and they opened up a bunch of licenses and didn't really help anything. We got some low powers and stuff, but that's mixed. A lot of the low powers are, they have all the same problems of a full power FM, community station. They have, people on the left, people on the right. And everybody wants to be on the radio, and everybody thinks that their voice is right. And then you have these little conflict zones, at these stations, and then it winds up being, as you would imagine, just a shouting match back and forth between, people on the left and people on the right, and then jerk off centrists that want to appease both halves. And
both sides do it. Both sides do it.
Yeah, I actually got, I went to a radio station, and I wasn't a volunteer, but I was trying to help the listener more than anything. And I went to several meetings, and I, helped them fill out their board and bring in good people. And, we had some positive change there. And I actually got one of the members of the board to flip out to the point where he said, well, we'll play Rush Limbaugh if we want. So I chuckled, I sat down, waiting to get thrown out. And there was another point where I could speak. And I said, you realize, of course, and as a board member of a public radio station, you should know that you can't have Rush Limbaugh on because he's pointed speech and it's too many calls to action and violates SEC rules for communication. Then I got showed up.
Here I've got a nice little piece of sound we might both enjoy.
Go ahead.
Earlier, a story broke over at Rolling Stone. You remember when Mitt Romney got busted with the 47% line from the closed-door dinner, where one of those 47 percenters just happened to record him so that we could all know just how much of an asshole he was?
Yeah, well, we played that on the radio program.
Well, the same thing has sort of happened to Brian Kemp down in Georgia.
Oh, huh?
He's stone-cold busted. He has admitted... And remember, he's Secretary of State of Georgia, too. I know you know that, Arnold.
And he spent
the last 4 years trying to suppress as many African-American votes as he possibly could.
Yep.
So they were having one of those dinners where all the Republicans just let their hair down and talk amongst themselves.
Right.
Oops. And he spent... Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. Damn it. Just a second. This all gets so complicated.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's amazing to me that these people don't. Go ahead.
All right, we're ready. We're ready here. You gotta. This is amazing, Arnold. This is the Secretary of State and gubernatorial nominee of Georgia, on the Republican Party, Brian Kemp.
And as worried as we were going into the start of early voting with the literally tens of millions of dollars that they are putting behind to get out the vote efforts for their base. A lot of that with absentee ballot requests. They have just an unprecedented number of that, which is something that continues to concern us, especially if everybody uses and exercises their right to vote, which they absolutely...
And then, of course, it's broken up with an ad. But the bottom line is that...
Holy crap!
If everybody uses and exercises their right to vote, which they absolutely can, and mail those ballots in... We got to have heavy turnout to offset that.
He's basically saying that he's publicly admitting having seen the results of early voting. Is that did I interpret that right?
Well, not necessarily. I don't think he's saying he knows he's saying that they, meaning the Stacey Abrams campaign, have spent millions of dollars on Get Out the Vote. And that if everybody who is legal to vote votes, he loses.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, it's pretty damning. It was bad enough that when Rolling Stone reached out to the Kemp campaign to say, "Is that really him?" They confirmed that. Yeah, the event took place. We don't particularly want to talk to anybody about what he said on the tape there, because for all intents and purposes, what he's saying is that if African American votes are not suppressed, that he doesn't get to be governor.
Right, and I mean that's what's the Paul Rayrick one? They're voting. I've heard it so many times. You think I would know it? Basically, they don't want everybody to vote. As we suppress the vote, the Republican Party wins. Is the basic message?
Yeah.
They've been trying to get away with that forever. So I mean, but see, am I wrong to feel like the Democrats have not really? I mean, I keep hearing about the blue wave, and we got a lot of people on about the blue wave and the blue wave. And am I wrong to feel like there's like no one to be really excited about? I mean, like we got okay people. Like I'm not being like a hater, like I said before, but like I don't see like Trump is talking he's going to do a campaign twice a day, but till now till election day, like.
He's going to do two campaign rallies a day in the last 6 days before the election or something like that. In other words, he is abrogating all of his duties as president of the United States
And you could almost argue that that triggers the 25th Amendment.
Except for the fact that, like, Pence and stuff like the fact that he's a buffoon. I think we're experiencing some Reagan stuff again, where it was really convenient that the president's like, you know, he's someone to sign the, use the pen. You know, he switched off. He's just a crazy old fucker that, you know, happens to be president. It's a scary thing. I mean, people would say that, you know, maybe he's a little bit more competent than that. But really, you can't understand anything he says. But that's just me.
Let me see if I can catch the last of the Brian Kemp comments here.
Go ahead. That's awesome.
Maybe not. Let's see.
Uses an exercise of their right to vote, which they absolutely
can. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fucked up clip.
That's but, awesome, though. I mean,
but we're, yeah.
he's saying that unless he purges everybody.
Yeah.
Now, what's this I hear yesterday? I think you're talking that some hate groups are going to actually try to help suppress the vote in black communities. Any truth to that, you think?
There always is. There's usually the bullshit mailers. If you show up to vote, you will be arrested if there's an outstanding warrant for you. That's always a good one.
That works in any poor community, though. That's not just a black-white issue.
No, but they all, but those notices usually go out to communities of color. And they, because, look, Republicans are not endangered by poor white voters. Because poor white voters...
No, most of them, they vote Republican because they're fucking stupid, most of them, honestly.
Right, yeah. I mean,
I interact with them. Like you, I live in a pretty red place. The county next to me is sort of Democratic, but I live in a Republican county. And so if we go to our county seat, like our capital, our quote-unquote capital town or whatever, it's a joke. I mean, the hate is alive and well. And we have an interesting dynamic here because we're 100 miles from New York City. So there's a lot of others here of all descriptions. And I love it because a lot of them have whatever accent they have and then a little bit in New York because they were in New York for a decade or two decades. And then they wanted a quieter life in the country. So they moved to this sleepy place. And so I love that. I love that. I love all the different cultures and, you know, who's an Indian, who's a Pakistani, and, you know, who's whoever. I love that. And I love how it makes the local people here kind of have to deal with it. They want to sell that building. They want to get that tax revenue. They're going to put up with it. But you would be amazed. Well, probably not because of where you live, but you'd be amazed at how hate-filled some of the white people are openly. Like in a Turkey Hill, like in a 7-Eleven type of grocery, you know, gas station.
Yeah.
People will say mean stuff to the people online with them.
Oh.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Well, they'll say, I mean, there's one little rippy mart that I don't go to anymore, simply because I couldn't walk through the door without some without hearing that particular word, or hearing a joke involving that word, or some piece of racist filth. And so I just, right. I don't need to be there.
Yeah, we have that, a couple of the lumber supply type places, have a tendency to, you know, describe, certain groups of people, you know, in slang form, and it's not cool, you know, racially, whatever. It's not cool, you know. And as a white person, you know, you can, and the white privilege is complicated. You can get out of those situations by just kind of looking down and not saying anything. And then they really get twisted when you call them on their hate, and you're like, you know, oh, I'm not really down with that. And then you got to be careful though, because I've had situations where I've had the book because, you know, I'm one guy in a room full of a bunch of people, you know, and I wasn't smart enough to shut up.
Right. And they will, and you know, if there's enough of them there to give them collective courage, they will beat some ass.
Yep, yep. And the redneck racist types, they're really the worst. They make, you know, you always hear about, like, you know, Fox likes to demonize, like, the black inner city, you know, gangs and all this. That stuff is nothing compared to stupid rednecks with, like, guns and explosives and, you know, trucks with guns on them and all the lunacy that white people get away with messing around with in the country. You know, inner city blacks have nothing on, you know, so there's people up here with, you know, Jeeps with guns mounted to it. Like, you know, it's not legal or anything. It's just what they do because they're rednecks. They're white and they don't care.
And they're probably not going to get called on it.
Oh no, because it's cultural, for Christ's sake. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of scary about it. It's like, and you probably experienced this where you live. You know, you're different. It's okay to all of them. You know, not all of them. I mean, that's a gross generalization, but
I know,
I mean,
Arnold. I know, and it just boggles my mind. I know people who cannot go out to a convenience store after dark without packing heat.
Where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no threat to them.
No.
Right?
I mean, I've seen them packing heat, standing in line to get their medication refilled at Rite Aid.
Yeah, we have that here too. Yeah, I don't get that. You know, I always wonder, like, you know, I don't know, women, I don't know what to say, you know, last time I was like a pig, but with men, I just assume that they're really insecure when I see that, you know, because I'm not a tough guy, you know, I don't really want to fight anybody, but, you know, I'd much rather just have a fist fight with you and roll around on the ground than go through the whole, like, take out a gun and, like, you know, shoot you. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if I'm mad enough to kill somebody, it's because they've attacked me.
Well,
not
but see,
because, like,
yeah, but see, some of these people, I'd say a majority of these people that I'm talking about, are older white West Virginians.
What are they afraid of? Younger white West Virginians?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're sort of nebulously afraid that they're going to be attacked by some ethereal African American ISIS MS-13 New Black Panther there in the fruits and vegetables at Walmart.
Yeah, New Black Panther in a Honda Civic they barely making the payments on, just like us. Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know, it's generalized because you know the National Ruble Association says things like it's a dangerous world out there. You'd be, you know, you're better off having a gun and not needing it than needing it and not having it.
No, give me a broomstick. Put your gun down and face me with a broomstick, and we'll see how you make out. You know, as a visually impaired person, you know, with people with guns, just let's go in a room with no lights on, no weapons of any kind, and we'll turn the lights off and we'll see who comes out. I mean, it's simple. I mean, I don't, the gun thing, I don't know. You know, it's sort of not necessary. But I digress. I just don't get it. I've been around gun people with it.
Well, there's a difference between, I mean, I know people, there's lots of people I absolutely trust them with firearms. Okay. They got a house full of them. They got a .30-06 for deer. They got a .223
yeah, sure.
for groundhog hunting. They got a, you know, they got a 12 gauge
sure.
for turkey season.
A lot of those people are non-political too. Most of them are not radicalized psychos. You know, they like they got their deer deal. They got their hunting gear. You know, they eat the meat. You know, they fish probably. I mean, I'm stereotyping.
But then you walk into Sheetz, and there's this month's copy of Guns and Ammo, with an assault rifle on the front of it, an AR-15, and it says, "Stopping power." Stop
right.
What? Bambi?
Yeah, you
or
can't shoot a, you know,
pistol,
blow it apart.
You know, pistol magazine and 45 versus 40 caliber, which one has the greater penetration and stopping power?
I love the word penetration. I mean, they have to put that word there, and that's how they sell that shit. And I mean, Obama was the greatest gun salesman in America, in world history, just by breathing.
Just by breathing.
I was at a gun store because I used to buy bicycle parts from this place that also sold guns. And it was a friend of mine's place. And holy crap. I mean, people come in on payday and they would just buy bullets and guns and, you know, fill out paperwork and get more guns. And I was like, dude, this is like, I'm in like the wrong business. This is completely nuts. And he's like, I hope Obama's president forever.
Yeah, sell them fast as they come in the door. Now, I mean, I'm trying to be kind of reasonable here, Arnold. Because, look, if you're going out to the range because you like to plink, and there are people who do, then, you know, you're not a terrorist in waiting because you bought 1,000 rounds of 9mm pistol ammunition.
I agree with you. It's a slippery slope. I don't want to go
now,
there either.
If you've got 1,000 rounds of jacketed hollow points, as opposed to 1,000 rounds of full metal jacket plinking ammo.
Well, like some like 22 target, like some target blanks or something, right? Like, you know, like what are they called? The low velocity one.
38 special full wad cutter, that kind of stuff. You know, that's the stuff you practice with.
Yeah, cheap. It's cheap too. I mean,
and they literally sell it by the bucket. And I don't necessarily agree with the lifestyle, but at least I understand what they're getting at. But it's the ones that are frothing at the mouth that scare the shit out of me. It really is. It's the people who can't go for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk at Wally World without strapping on.
I know people like that, and they have to have their legal permit. Their shit's all in order. You know, they have a particular kind of gun they carry with this outfit. I'm dead serious. Like, I know a few people like this. And they're the ones that do scare me the most, because they're the ones that have said to me, they feel this way or that way about, you know, this group of people or that group of people. And I really feel like they're a crisis in their life away from being a problem. And those people, like you said, those are the ones that truly scare me. Because you're going to the store, you're going to Home Depot, and you have a gun on. Like, what do you think's going to happen at Home Depot? Just go buy wood. Like, really. I don't know if I ever told this story on the air. I was summer of 2012. We have a little property here. Nothing big, like a few acres. And we have some horses and stuff. So Pennsylvania is an open carry state. So as long as you don't get in your vehicle, you can walk around with a gun on.
Yeah.
So I spent most of the summer with a sidearm. And it was a SIG that my wife had forever. And I think it's too big to carry around, but it's my wife's gun. So she's smaller than me and whatever. So
yeah.
Holster fit nice. I kind of like the way it looked, blah, blah. You know, I'm part red gun, what can I tell you? So towards the end of the summer, neighbor lady comes over with a lost dog. Real cool lady, does all kinds of good stuff, cleans the road, all kinds of great, community stuff. She comes over with this lost dog, and I kneel down to talk to her and the dog. And I looked at my sidearm, and I looked at the dog and the lady's kid and my wife and everybody that was standing around our dog, and excuse me, I'll be right back. And I left her with my wife, and I went in the house. I put the gun in the closet, with the holster, and I haven't touched it since. Because in that moment, I realized, you know, what the hell am I wearing? What the hell do I have a gun for? Like, if something happens where I need the gun, I'll go get the gun. I don't have to wear the gun. Like, how stupid is it to walk around your house, walk around your property with this stupid gun? I'm not opposed to having a shotgun in the truck. You know, if you have a farm and you have, like, a pickup and you want to have a shotgun for a vermin, I totally have no problem with that. I'm not anti-firearm. I just don't know that everybody needs to – we shouldn't be celebrating running around with sidearms. I think that if you want to have a disagreement with somebody, the last thing you should have near you is a sidearm. You know, stand your ground like in Florida, real scary to me. How do you tell someone to fuck off without giving them the right to shoot you? I don't want to be terminated because I told you to go fuck yourself. I mean, that's crazy. I've lived my life telling people to go fuck themselves. How could you celebrate stand your ground? People like me get killed because I don't know when to not stick up for the cripple or disabled, you know, blind person, yeah, woman, whatever.
In Florida, though, that law was passed specifically for the Trayvon Martins of the world. You will be protected by your white skin. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but Trayvon Martin died for having a can of tea and a bag of Skittles, not for having a sidearm strapped, and not even for telling what's his asshole to fuck off.
Right.
He died for being a young black man who ran across a guy who wanted to kill a black man.
And here's gonna make me sound real intelligent. What's his name? Killer boy there. Oh God,
Zimmerman,
idiot.
George,
yeah,
Zimmerman.
Yeah. He's not quite white anyway. So I don't know what he was all like thinking about with his whatever mediocre color he is. He shouldn't be all full of hate. He's not quite. He's not pure enough for all the hate people, right? I mean, that's kind of silly to me. Like he's become some kind of cult.
Well, but
right,
yeah, but
icon.
Hey, one of the Proud Boys who finally managed to get arrested by the NYPD for his participation in the Proud Boys violence in New York City. Lo and behold, there's pictures of him. His spouse partner is an African American woman, and he's got a biracial child. Just because you might be in that situation does not mean you're not a white supremacist.
So wait a minute. Black girlfriend, black baby, mixed race baby, which I hate that term. Kid's a kid.
Yeah.
Human baby. Human baby coming at you.
And
he's a member of he's the leader of a hate group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the girlfriend like a possession then? Like he's like totally nuts?
Yeah, go figure. You know, he's got Proud Boys tattooed on his arm.
Man, oh man. We're in a terrible place.
You know, meanwhile, a 13-year-old little girl is waiting on the bus in Philly. Or somewhere in the greater Philadelphia area. And while she's standing there waiting on the bus, her classmates set her hair on fire.
My God.
She's got bald spots on her head, first-degree burns. Her mama said, I called the police as soon as they came home, took her to the hospital. The fire chief came out. I've spoken to the school district. I've spoken to the principal at the school. The Philadelphia School District hasn't said a word yet, and police are investigating the situation.
Racial? Not racial?
Yeah, no, she's black, little black girl.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
I don't know.
This is unacceptable to me.
I don't know about the people who set her hair on fire.
what I don't like is the fact that we celebrate this stuff. We don't teach our kids culturally to respect one another. You know, we like violent video games. We like stupid horror movies. Like I'm gonna trigger some people. I'm sure you get some bobs, but horror movies are basically useless because
I don't watch them.
They glorify death and, you know, blood and guts, and we really should be working on ways to have, you know, empathy and compassion. Look, I talk hard so people listen. Sometimes I might sound like a racist. I might come out sounding anti-Semitic. I got to watch myself. I always pick on my old man for the same kind of stuff because our hearts are in the right place, but sometimes you get on a rant and shit comes out a little squirrely. And the reality is, though, that we should be talking about empathy and compassion as a sport in this country, not as something that a couple of us have and the rest of us, you know, don't need. We should actually be making it fun. Like, I know there's some football fans in the audience, and I don't mean to make a step on them. But, like, mock war, really? We shouldn't even be celebrating that. Like, I'm not trying to take away football, but it's all that kind of stuff where we celebrate violence, and we don't need to. We could do other things. I don't know what those are at the moment, but.
Well, no, I mean, other cultures don't have American-style football, but then again, other cultures have soccer hooligans.
Soccer hooligans, yeah. No touching.
But
I had to throw that out there. No touching. No one laughed.
I got that. Yeah, I got that. You know, I guess the theory is that simulated violence is better than the real thing, but right now we've got both.
Yeah, and I think that we shouldn't celebrate it. That's all I'm saying. You know, I think we should, you know, work on making our little boys and girls, you know, world citizens. You know, not.
No, I ain't ever going to do that. You're one of them one world government people, ain't you?
Oh, yeah. Not quite. I mean, I could easily be an isolationist. It's complicated being me because there's a lot of good points, you know, both sides. No, there's a lot of good points to, you know, some tariffs and, you know, some good isolationist practices when it comes to, you know, maybe having a future. But on the broader scale, you know, we've become a world economy. We have to – anything we do in terms of being isolationist going forward has to be done measured, or we're going to offset too many other economies. Any hasty actions economically has too much ripple effect. And
if we were the only country in the world that took climate change seriously, and we decided, by God, no matter what the rest of the world does, we're going to do something about climate change. I guess that would be kind of isolationist. I'm okay with that kind of isolationism. Do the right thing first. Be the first people to do the right thing.
Absolutely agree.
But that's not isolationism, Arnold. That's called leadership.
It is, though. But we're not going to get that, though, because right now we have this situation where we have a clown for a president. I don't even know that he's clown cool, right? I mean, you have to go to clown college.
Right.
So complicated.
I know. Well, we got to get out of here, Arnold, but it's been a great conversation. I always enjoy our little chats.
Yeah, love your show, Bob. Talk to you later, man.
All right, take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye now.
Bye.
Arnold calling from PA, and it is time to get out of here. Tracy had a challenge on the table. Tracy's stuck in traffic behind a crashed imitation Nazi warplane challenge. That was a $20 challenge. It's still on the table if anyone cares to respond. Otherwise, this is... A couple of rough days of fundraising, trying to get to the end of fundraising for the month of October. But there's a $20 challenge on the table. We left a $100 challenge on the table last night, a $20 challenge on the table tonight so far. Maybe Tracy's won't be left on the table. But anyway, back tomorrow evening for prayer meeting Wednesday. And yes, the actual, no kidding, real live, genuine 15th anniversary of the Horn. Bring your party hats and your noisemakers, and we'll all have imaginary cake and ice cream and Baptist wedding punch. Not really, but still, 15 years. What about that? Thanks to all of you who do keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers, and thanks to everybody who contributes during the program. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little discussion. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.